I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Mike Conley headed to the Utah Jazz in return for some protected picks, or at least one protected pick. Kyle Korver, Grayson Allen, and Jay Crowder. Mark Giannato's got his laptop in here right now. Are you going to be, like, writing the column as we do this interview?
Well, I'll be honest, I had the bones of something written, you know. You gotta in the newspaper business. You gotta be prepared. I thought it was gonna happen tomorrow night, and so
you just want to be prepared.
I gotta flesh it out a little bit more. It'll take me some time, but hopefully have it up before we go on air at 2 o'clock with Gino and Jeffrey.
Why'd your gut tell you they're gonna do it now as opposed to wait until free agency?
It wasn't. It's not like it was just a contingency plan. It wasn't like my gut told me. It was just like. My editors were like, do you think that he's going to get traded? Just have something ready in case he does get traded. And I figured whether he got, you know, once I write it now, I don't have to write it in July if it had happened in July.
Completely.
So
we're all doing our initial what do you think? So what do you think?
I think it's an okay deal. And here's why I think it's okay. Essentially, in Grayson Allen and then these two first-round picks, mm-hmm. you essentially have three – mid to late first round draft picks, essentially. And you have a chance, if you hit, to me, the deal looks good if one of them becomes a starter for you long term. Mm-hmm. Either one of the two first round picks or Grayson Allen. Then this deal looks exactly kind of how we hoped it would, where you're getting a young asset for Mike.
Right.
So they've given themselves three chances and cap space. Three chances to hit on finding a starter to go mm-hmm. alongside Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. And they've given themselves a lot of cap space. And they've given themselves maneuverability tomorrow night and in the future with, you know, guys like Jay Crowder and Kyle Korver and even this, if they want to trade this 22nd pick. So it's not the greatest deal in the world. I don't think anyone's arguing that.
Well, there are people who are actually saying
really?
That it's an amazing haul.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't call it amazing. But
you weren't amazing, were you?
I don't think you were. Not with
the rest of the league.
Not when you're paying. Not when the rest of the league knows you have to trade him.
Precisely.
Not when you owe. You're gonna have to pay him $67 million over the next 2 years. But
going into a depression about this thing ain't the right way to go either. It could work out okay.
I heard you when I was driving in here, though, Jason. I do still think this. Like, you can't tell me this deal wouldn't have been on the table a month from now, though. My one question would be, why do it right now?
Mm-hmm.
And my whole thing also was, if you wanted this 23rd pick from Utah, why not wait to pull the trigger till tomorrow night when you can see, like when you get to the 20th pick and say like I've been throwing this name out there. What if Bol Bol
yes,
drops or
right.
someone's
right.
dropping?
Somebody who's like
and
the top five,
you can
top
and you like
pick,
you
right.
can then you actually then you go in and pull the trigger. Like you have the and I don't know if Utah was giving them an ultimatum, but it felt like you had more leverage on Utah in that this was their move. Like they're not going to go out. Utah's a lot like
exactly.
Memphis. They're not going to go out and sign someone in free agency more mm-hmm. than likely, like Mike. And so that would be my only. Question about this. Why now?
Same question I have.
Why right now? But, like, when you look at the actual trade, I see where it made sense in that you get these two first-round picks, that 20, you know, presumably it'll be 2022 if these reported projections are accurate.
That's what it feels
like. Right.
Now, that's the double draft. So
exactly.
You know, that's the draft where the one and done rule, it sounds like, is going to be gone.
So that will that
so
will actually
be a
end
deeper
up being,
draft.
Yeah, exactly. We did not bring up that point on that 2022 pick because that's
point.
What it will likely end up being is a 2022 pick given the protections. That's actually there's real value there.
Yeah,
that's the best part of the deal.
And the question is, you know, that third year, Mike. I don't know. Maybe Utah will re-sign Mike, but Mike only has 2 years left on the deal. But they'll probably still be pretty good. So it'll still probably be late teens.
Somebody late.
early 20s.
But it'll be a deeper draft, to your point, because you're going to have a lot of high schoolers in it.
But like I said, it's just, you know, you hit on one guy like a Chris Middleton who just, you know, someone like that. You get the next Chris Middleton,
right.
Some like a good shooter in the, you know, who can be a longtime starter for you. Then I think you look back on this deal much more positively than you do today.
Yeah.
And so it is contingent on this front office hitting on at least one, whether it's Grayson Allen becoming better than what he showed his first year or these two first-round picks that they have, finding a longtime starter out of that. I think when we look back on it, if we go, they got cap flexibility and a young starter for the long term for Mike, I think we would actually look back on it, maybe not home run, but
no,
we'd
but
look back on it positively.
Okay. What do you? You're an ACC guy. What do you think of Grayson Allen, the player? Like, were we too hard on him in the opening? John and I put in, you know, we've always said we don't want Grayson Allen, but in his defense, he's had a 40-point game. What do you think of him as a player?
I think he's got potential. I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's the longtime starter.
If he's the one out of three that we're talking. Yes.
I do see him as being, he can be a useful rotation player, is how I guess I would phrase it with him, is how I see envision him. I don't envision him
becoming
Chris Middleton, for instance.
Yes. Right. Right.
But I do.
I don't either.
I could see him being, you know, like your third wing or something like that. I think,
right. I mean, that's what it. You know, he's not. People are sending us. You know,
your second or third wing.
The Grayson Allen fans have come out of the woodwork.
I did not realize he had a bandwagon like this.
They're all here, John. I told you in the first segment. I can't believe you're not on it.
I did not
he's
realize.
Typically your kind of player.
Grayson Allen fan.
Ultimately,
club.
You look at his numbers. He wasn't as good as Dylan Brooks was as a rookie. I mean, I don't think, at least. I know he had the 40-point game or whatever they're saying.
That skewed his averages majorly.
But like, he was a guy who bounced between, and I guess he was on a, to be fair, he was on a better team.
Exactly.
Oh, so yeah, you have to keep saying that.
But bounced back and forth
and
between the G League and the NBA.
We have said that over and over. Folks are like, he's a rookie on a good team. He's
like,
not a first.
I think it is.
We know that.
My initial reaction was, I don't love the deal.
The problem is, if they were going to do this deal with Utah, Grayson Allen was really the only,
right,
unless you wanted Dante Exum, and I think
that boat said,
once
you got DeLon Wright,
you don't need Dante Exum. Mm-hmm. He was the only sort of real young
player
that even made sort of some sense.
And that's why I never loved Utah as a trade partner.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
I was like, it's more of like, oh, they did the deal with Utah. Like, was there literally nobody else? You know, that kind of was where I was at with it. You know, when we don't know. But.
Yeah, no, and that's why I just don't. That's my question coming out of this. Is why right now? Mm-hmm. Why did you need to do this right now? Why not either wait till tomorrow night when you have a better sense of exactly what player you might get at 23? Or better yet, why not wait and see who else is going to be there in July? Because my sense is Utah was there at the trade deadline. Utah was there now.
Because he's their man.
Utah,
I love the point you're making. They weren't going anywhere.
Utah was going to be there
that was
in
their
3 weeks.
Right. It's the best option for them,
and
Mike Conley.
And so that's my only question at this. Why right now?
How much would there have been? I guess that, you know, the question
and maybe
would just
the deal wouldn't have changed.
Right. How much more would there have been
but
to extract?
But still, I think you feel a little better. You know, you want wait and see.
Like, you'd have an idea tomorrow.
This whole Boston situation fleshes out more. We see what exactly the Lakers did. They're trying to carve out max cap space.
Yeah, which I can't believe that they're still trying to do.
Well, but maybe they can, and maybe they still strike out, and then Mike's there. You know, there's just so many different teams I feel like that could have been in the picture, and you would have felt you would have had more certainty about who you were going to get.
Right.
Now, with that 20.
But I'm with you. I can't poo-poo this just because they didn't go my route.
Now, maybe this is just the first. Maybe they're flipping this 23rd pick for something else. Maybe they've got something else lined up, in which case there's more to this, and they're playing chess while we're playing checkers.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
that should be said, you know, because they do have now what they didn't have before now, which is some flexibility, some maneuverability that, you know, they have assets now. So if they flip this into that.
Assets and space.
You know, it could be a very incomplete sort of sequence.
You know what's kind of crazy? Who the longest tenured Grizzly player is now?
Oh, gosh.
Longest tenured Grizzly. Is it Dylan Brooks?
Chandler Parsons.
Oh my God, it is.
Lord have mercy.
Oh, it is. I saw him in. I saw him working out in Germany. Have you seen? Have you been?
Yeah, involved? Düsseldorf. He's back in Düsseldorf getting those knee injections.
I will
probably say,
my guy is doing literally everything that is scientifically even possible.
Here's what I will say, though. One of the pictures he posted on Instagram, it looked like he was flexing his abs for the camera. Like it was like he was like he oh it was like he was gosh. Trying to make it like an action shot. Like here's what I'm doing. But he was very clearly flexing while the camera was
shot.
Can
you imagine him delivering the team speech next year as the vet to start the preseason?
Like Chandler Parsons is like your locker room resident vet. Like,
oh boy.
Like,
well, no, you got Jake Crowder now. Jake Crowder.
Oh, that's true.
You got Jake Crowder.
Until the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
and CJ and CJ Miles, there's your veteran.
Oh, there you
are. CJ Miles. Can take it over.
Get that.
That dude, he opted
there's
in before. Like,
okay.
Like
CJ, he knew he wasn't getting $8.5 million. Everyone else is opting out.
He's
opting in.
He called the Grizzlies before the last game of the year. He's like, hey, you know, I can opt in still, right?
I can't because we're gonna see the most change we'll see is from John. I can't wait to watch Grayson Allen win you over and you get giddy about him. Like,
I mean, listen, I'm hopeful. Like, I'm not writing him off. All I'm saying is that, like, you know, he had the 40-point game against the Clippers, but outside of that, you know, he's had a couple dunks here and there. No numbers really support him being a great NBA player, you know. So
I will say this. He does not strike me as the type of player that Memphians typically embrace. I don't know if he actually is, but he comes off as a bit entitled.
Mm-hmm.
Comes off as, you know, he's just – obviously he's got that whole Duke persona.
Yeah.
He trips people and does
– hopefully that's
he has
done.
weird emotional outbursts, at least in college, but – you know, if he can play, that's what I found in Memphis. You can play. Memphians will like you.
No doubt.
But the background doesn't necessarily suggest he's gonna have to earn the city's trust.
Memphis will give him a chance for him to win them over, though.
Yes,
especially guys that have. I mean, remember Z-Bo had a rep sort of coming here, and we embraced it. You show us that you know you're worth it, and we'll embrace you. No question about it.
It does clear the way clearly for Ja though. Like you talked to him yesterday. You know, I mean,
nice hustle on that. Did you do that during the Tigers press conference? That was amazing.
I did. It was
man,
like you get
brother,
that
you were hustling.
You get a call. You know, I got a call at about 1:00. I was at Las Delicias with Jason Munns eating lunch and got a call. Since the day after the draft lottery, I'd been.
I figured there's no way you're putting that interview together in one day.
No, yep. I've been trying to line it up, and they, you know. To his team's credit, they kept stringing me along. And at one point, like a week and a half ago, I was just like, listen, like I will not take offense if you're just not going to give me him. Just tell me if you're going to give me him or not so I can plan my coverage plan, so I can map out my coverage plan. And they were like, no, like we might get him to, you know, they kept stringing. And then I got a call at 1:00 and they're like, you can get him for 15 minutes at 3:15 Eastern time, which is 2:15 here, right in the middle of the Tiger basketball availability. So, but you're not, I mean, I'd been working on it for 3 weeks. I'm not going to pass up the chance to talk to him. So I
and
got
he
him for
he
15
gave you a
minutes
lot.
On the
I mean,
phone.
He gave you a lot in terms of what he thought of them. We didn't get a lot of that from his father. His father didn't want to go down that road for the most part. You got a lot from Miranda in terms of what he thinks about this team and being here.
Yeah, no, it's he the
doesn't
most
care about small market.
No, does
so
not.
So he
care.
Says. Did that sound like lip service, or was this?
No,
he
I
strike
sensed,
you as a guy that's like that.
Well, he struck me as a guy who kind of, while he wouldn't straight out say it, he kind of knows he's going to be in Memphis.
Absolutely,
you know, he has a feeling he's going to be in Memphis, so he's not going to say something to. But I do actually believe, like, why would he care? You know,
because he went to Murray State.
He became a star at Murray State.
I'm with you.
He's from this small town in South Carolina. Like, I don't think he. He would mind being in New York or L.A. or Chicago.
Like, R.J. and Zion seem like those kind of dudes that were kind of set on big. I don't get the sense that Ja ever was set on in L.A. or in New York. Maybe a little bit, but it doesn't come off that way.
Yeah, no. And the most interesting part was him talking about this. He was here not this past weekend, but the weekend before, and they had this big dinner.
Yeah.
It was really the meeting when he was here in Memphis at Rendezvous. And Para was there, and Wexler, and Kleiman, and like he said, everybody but the coaches was there. Like the entire front office, they had this big barbecue spread, and he said it was them getting to know him and him getting to know them. Even though they, like you know, they were days away from naming Taylor Jenkins the head coach, and they did not tell him that Taylor Jenkins was going to be the head coach.
Yeah, I saw that detail in your story.
And they didn't tell him what style of play they were planning to use in the future. And Ja said, you know, he came prepared. Like, he knew everything about the Grizzlies, he felt. And, you know, just their roster and their makeup and their history. Like, he says he watched the core four, like those Z-Bo. He knows about those Z-Bo and Tony and Mike and Mark teams.
We asked Dad yesterday if you dive in already on the team you think you're going to or anything, or do you wait until your name's called and then dive in? I got the sense from Dad that they've taken a little bit closer look than he was letting on, and then from reading your column this morning, oh, yeah, they've done some studies.
Yeah, he knows what he's getting into in Memphis, I sense, from a just roster standpoint. But he said he said just like we've kind of gotten from this front office since they got into place, they didn't reveal much to him, he said. At least that's what he told me.
Don't tell you the coach. Don't tell you.
And he said it was more like them getting to know, you know, everyone know, you know, they knew how talented he was. They knew the player he was at Murray State, but they were getting to
tell
know off the court Ja.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of it. That's a big part of this select. Like, not that this meeting would have made or make or break whether they're going to take Ja Morant, but it's the reason why you want him to come to Memphis, because you want to make sure, like, are you ready? Is this guy ready for this, with what we're talking about now? Like,
right.
Mike Conley's gone, and it's going to be Jaren and him. And honestly, after every game, they're going to have to talk. They're going to have to be the face of this team as it's losing maybe 50 games next year, maybe more. And is he ready for that?
Yeah.
And I think that's what that whole meeting was about. And I, you know, it's hard to judge off a 15-minute phone conversation. I've never met the guy before, and I got the sense I was one of several phone conversations he was having with reporters yesterday. He was doing kind of a run of them. But there's nothing to suggest to me that he isn't the type of guy who can handle that.
Oh, I think he can.
I'm looking forward to it.
I think he can. Listen, if you're going to be bad, you want at least some sort of beam, right? Some beacon of hope, you know, for the future. And you have two. You actually are, and maybe more, right? We'll see what happens the rest of the way with these picks. But you got John, you got Jaren Jackson Jr. And these periods of time are much easier to get through when you have that. When you have Ja Morant, who's he's going to be dunking on people. Like, that's going to be fun to watch.
It's a lot like what we talked about with Memphis basketball. Like, Tubby's last team and Penny's first team had basically the same record.
Yep.
But you felt so much
different
about them.
Absolutely.
Because you had hope.
Now, we know you loved watching Tubby teams. So for you, there wasn't much of a difference.
I didn't mind Tubby teams.
Nobody loved Tubby teams more than Mark Giannotti.
Man, man was going having beers with Tubby.
I did have beers with Tubby a couple times.
You didn't remember.
There is no doubt you had a soft spot for Tubby.
I did. Well, he treated me well. Like,
Let me tell you a story, Mark.
I didn't think he was. I never thought he was a good fit for the job. I made that clear.
Did he tell you how much he hated this place and this city? Did y'all get into that?
No, he was too smart to, like. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't bat. He even
can't
after
trust.
Even
I don't know if he could trust.
Even
you yet.
After he got fired, and I had a beer with him in Dallas.
You had a beer
after?
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Brother, yes. Come on to my recruiting room at my house.
Now, there was no more recruiting room after
this
that.
He was already the head coach. I went to Dallas for Penny's first recruiting trip. And we ended up, we were both staying at the same Marriott in Dallas. And he spotted me at the bar. He actually came up to me and sat down next to me.
Gennaro.
Yeah. And, you know, and so, and we had a nice conversation. I don't think I can. You know, it was as off the cuff as Tubby gets, I would say.
Did he say they did him wrong on making him come back for another day to get fired?
Here's what I'll say. Here's the story I'll tell that he told me that day that I found fascinating. I'll just put it this way. A prominent booster who was very much involved in the firing of Tubby and hiring of Penny.
That scoundrel.
After they lost to Cincinnati in the AAC tournament.
Yes.
The booster called up Tubby to congratulate him on what a fantastic season they had had and what a great job he had done at the end of the year. And Tubby goes to me, he goes, and this man, I already knew at that point, this man was trying to get me fired.
They did some old JB. Oh, they did some old Bickerstaff. You still the coach.
Uh-huh. Congratulations on a great season. You're fired!
So
it wasn't that great of a season. It was a pretty horrible. I mean,
it was
not
better
horrible,
than people give him credit for.
It wasn't horrible. Yes, but
it wasn't an entertaining or exciting brand
here.
Of basketball. I'll say that. But he got he got a lot out of the guys he had. That was the problem, though. It was the guys he had. It was never about, to me, Tubby's X's and O's coaching. There were a couple games where late he made some bad decisions, but there were also a couple of games where he did a masterful job.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Mike Conley has just tweeted. He said, "What more can I say about my city? You guys made me the man I am today. Memphis is home always. Time for another chapter. Excited to give all I have to the Jazz and the city of Utah." Well, Utah is a state.
He said the city of Utah, really?
Yeah, but that's fine.
Salt Lake City is a very. I've been to Salt Lake City, and I've been there.
Yeah,
I've been skiing out there. There's it's one of the cool cities in that. Like, whereas when you go to the Colorado Rockies, you got to drive like 2-3 hours to get to the mountains from Denver. Salt Lake City, like Park City and all that stuff, is like only 45 minutes away. So I don't know if Mike Conley skis, but
yeah, cool. Jason would say that he does not
ski.
Yes.
Hey, he may.
You think he might?
He's probably giving it a shot. Keelan has.
Yeah, and it did not go well. how bad are the Grizzlies going to be next season, though? Like, I mean, is it 50
losses?
It'll
be fun bad, though.
Like, my hope is they are going to be like the Atlanta Hawks were this year. A 25-30 win
coming
team
on at the end of the year
that you feel good about.
Yep.
Like, they might win fewer games than they did this year, but I think you're going to come out feeling better about them.
Yeah, I think we could see the same thing with Ja that we saw with Trey, where he struggles maybe for an entire half a season, but by the end of it, you see a guy that's picking it up, and you're happy you made the decision to give it to him right away because you got to go through the struggles to get to the good. And I think we'll see there's a good possibility we see a season from Ja like Trey's, where he's a slow starter and then he takes off.
Yeah,
you know? That makes sense to me, Mark. I know you got to get out and
thank
write
you
a column,
for this,
man.
Brother.
I
appreciate the time.
I should note we will have audio from Ja Morant on Giannotto and Jeffrey today.
Ooh. There you go.